Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Shen Shen. I'm very happy to be here today to talk about microbe masculine. I'm a master's student from University of Georgia, advised by Dr. Patrick Collar. I guess many of you may never heard masculine before today, right now. So let's talk about what's the difference between masculine and bunch groups in the beginning. Well, the genus Vitis has two subgenera. One is masculina, the other is Vitis. Vitis has 38 chromosomes, while the masculina has two more. As you may know, all the table grapes, wine grapes, belong to Vitis. And there are around 60 species and more than 1,000 cultivars all over the world. However, for Muscadina, we only have three, Rutilifolia, Musoniana, and Paploi, because Rutilifolia is the most common one among the three. So when we talk about Muscadina grape, we really mean Rutilifolia. In terms of the comparative genomics, a tremendous of genetic information based on Vitis has become available for grape research community. However, for masculine, there is very little genetic information and the low genome sequence available yet. I will talk about that a little bit later. Where's masculine from? It's native to southeastern U.S., and it was the first cultivated domesticated American grape, and the domestication happened very recently. Back in 16th century, the European settlers started to cultivate muscadine in U.S., and around 200 years later, it has commercial production. Here are two interesting pictures. On the left, this is an old vineyard back in 19th century. And on the right, this is a very old mother plant. This one is around 250 years old, which is pretty cool. For our muscadine breeding community, the current problem is how to identify those cultivars. As you can see here, as you may know, all the the bunch grapes, they have many different kind of phenotypic variations. Like you can see here, the leaf shape is pretty easy to tell the difference. But muscadine, they don't have that many kind of phenotypic variations. Like it shows here, those muscadine cultivars, they look really similar from each other, like the similar leaf shape, very similar berry size, berry color, and the cluster size. So it's really difficult to tell which is which. Also, because many collections has been poorly maintained when the breeding program were discontinued. That means those people who love the cultivar, they either passed away or retired or no longer working on muscadine anymore. So the collection, like nobody is really taking care of the germplasm. So it's a big issue here. Also, for some nurseries, they propagate muscadine by layering them in the field where those plants will never produce fruit. So this makes the identification even more difficult. So we really need to find a good way to identify the cultivars, the nursery stock. In this project, I have several objectives. A first one, developed fingerprint profiles using SSR markers to identify those cultivars. And a second verify the reported pedigrees. And the third, identify the unknown cultivars. And also, we want to estimate the genetic variation in those cultivars, which is really important for muscular breeding program. I was always being asked by this question, why did we use SSR markers? Because these days people are using GPS, using sleep markers, and but we still use SSR marker here. Here are the reasons that why we use SSR marker for this project. First, they are excellent fingerprinting tools. As you may know, SSR markers, they have very good polymorphism based on one locus. And also, they are robust markers, low variation from lab to lab, which is really important for fingerprinting work. And the second reason is, if you still remember what I mentioned before, there is very little genetic information available for muscadam. But fortunately, we have two reference genetic maps available for muscadam, and they are based on SSR markers, so we should take advantage of it. And third, a large number of SSR markers has been developed for UYTs, especially the WYTs, and many of them being has been proved to be useful in muscadam. In our lab, we do use SSR markers to study flower sex in muscadam. And the last but not least, SSR markers are very easy and affordable tool to apply for small number of samples. For example, a couple years after I graduate, if a nursery sent us some samples, we could still use those markers to help them identify the plants, which would be very helpful and applicable. Let's talk about the germplasm used in this project. We got 190 accessions in total, and they mainly contain historical and current cultivars. We also include wild accessions and unknown cultivars to identify. Here we used Verdifera and Labrasca, which are the UYT species, to serve as a reference. Another question is, how did we verify the red cultivar? Before answering this question, we need to know there is no unambiguous source for most cultivars at all, especially for the historical ones. I'm going to talk about the three ways we used to verify the red cultivar. The first, we used multiple sessions wherever possible. Here is an example. We collected four Carlos from different locations, and based on our data, we found Carlos 1 is totally different from the other three at all loci. So it's very likely the Carlos 1 is not the correct one, because it's more likely one person messed up than three, right? Second, we use the pedigree analysis wherever possible. Here's another reason. Here is another example. We got two burgos. We have no idea which is the correct one. From the published pedigree, the burgo is the progeny of Thomas and the parent of those three. Our data proved that Burgo 2 follow this kind of parentage relationship. However, Burgo 1 does not. So we could say Burgo 1 is not the correct one. Third, we also used the published phenotypic records, such as berry size, berry color, and flower sex. These published phenotypic records are especially important for the historical cultivars, because very few people at this time still know how the historical cultivars looks like. Basically, we combine those three methods to verify the cultivars. here are some current results. We got 11 system markers amplified very well for all the 119 sessions. And we picked out the pure masculine cultivars, and there is a total number of 94 alleles detected. The average number is average for per locus is 8.5, which is pretty good. And the peak polymorphism information content ranges from 0.27 to 0.79. The average is 0.68. In general, the 11 SSR markers were able to identify the 50-line masculine cultivars out of 73. In the near future, after we got more SSR markers, we could definitely be able to identify all the cultivars. Oh, here is another interesting finding. Still remember this very old mother plant? This is the original scopulon, which means all the scopulon in America come from this mother plant. It was planted in 1770s in the Roanoke Colony in North Carolina. And this one is still alive and producing, which is really amazing. And actually, in this project, we tested the 6 scopulons from different locations, as well as the mother plant. Interestingly, we found 4 of them were the same as the mother plant, but the other 2 were not. And also we found the 2 fake children, they actually the same as the Roanoke, which is a historical cultivar released in 1970s from North Carolina. Because scopulon and Roanoke, those 2 cultivars, they look very similar to each other. So this is the real occasion where people got confused by the similar cultivar. In the near future, we want to get at least 1 marker from each chromosome, which means 14 total. And also we would like to verify the published pedigrees. And in the end, we will develop a unique SSR identity pattern for each cultivar. Here I want to thank my advisor, Dr. Patrick Collar, and my committee, as well as the lab members before. This project was funded by the Southern Region Small Fruit Consortium. That's all I have today. Thank you so much. I'm happy to have you. Yes.
Time for 1 question?
Yep.
Since you have found some of these misidentified cultivars, have you been able to communicate with the people at USDA or with the nurseries that are selling those plants to tell them about the possible mistake? And how easy is it to switch that? Because I know, like, Samira Riaz's paper, too, which she did SSR analysis, and she saw a lot of mistakes maybe in the USDA collection, but I don't know that those have been resolved. That was done.
We've been waiting until we get final results.
Okay, all right.
With grapes being ancestral polyploids, did you ever run into any situations where you had more than 2 alleles per locus?
Yes. From my results, I see some of them like have 3. Mm-hmm. But we need to make sure, like to do it again to make sure. Yeah.
And they had 3 alleles or 4 alleles?
Yeah, I come across that. Thank you so much.